Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Shadow Stevens, and you must listen to Back to the 80s Radio. It's the law.
Body.
This sounds awfully dangerous.
Tear down this wall.
Hang on tight.
You ever dance with the devil?
Hold that, there's nothing to do.
Welcome back to each and every one of you from Back to the 80s Radio. No, you didn't go anywhere. Back to the 80s didn't go anywhere. Toscano and Chang didn't go anywhere. But we weren't here. We were getting ready to embark on season 3, ladies and gentlemen, of the greatest 80s radio show in the world. And we're going to be introducing some new elements for you, so you're not going to want to miss it. And a giveaway every single week. That's right. You didn't hear wrong. You heard right. You can't miss it. There's going to be a giveaway from Back to the 80s Radio every single week, but we can't tell you at what part of the show, so you're going to have to listen as we will do the giveaway at different times every single week. We are back and getting ready to hit new topics for this end of the year, and today is no different because we're going to be talking about the sporting events, athletes, and other sports stories from the 1980s. So you don't want to miss what's coming up. In addition, we're going to have a special segment counting down the top 10 greatest songs from the various years in the 1980s. So stick around because you don't want to miss what year we have in store for you today. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I must introduce to you the ninth wonder of the world. He is a man whose Richard Simmons leg warmer collection from the 80s has made it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'll be all the props to these men.
Along with his collection of strands of eyebrow hair belonging to Robert Smith from The Cure. He was even seen in the 80s chasing a herd of Duran Duran fans screaming the lyrics from A View to a Kill. Wearing nothing but the vinyl cover here in the Back to the 80s Radio Show, he is known as the infamous one and only Chang.
Ladies and gentlemen, the boys and girls, everything that you heard the greatest Italian besides Chef Boyardee proclaim is a lie, speaking untruths, falseness, proclaiming I am so weak to love The Cure and Mr. Robert.
Oh, yes.
Saw on the bicycle the man looks like, or Duran Duran, only the Duran Duran of her name is Rio and she's dancing on the shore.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
You love The Cure and Duran Duran.
Now, Toscano, anyone that wears any type of foot apparel without socks should be spanked numerous times by a rosary of a Catholic priest of their liking. Father Feelme would love it. Love it.
Be careful, because there's a lot of people that'll take you up on that. Well, it's good to be back, Chang. I know that we've had a little hiatus for a few weeks. We're getting things ready. We've had a little bit of everything, and it's such a joy. We don't want to bore you guys with the details, but we are back. And thank you for continuing to support the show regardless of our few week absence here. Join us today as we embark on an exploration of the athletes and sporting events that defined the 1980s, a decade that continues to inspire and shape the world of sports today. The 1980s was a vibrant and memorable decade in the world of sports as well, so with numerous athletes, games, and events that left a lasting impact on the sporting world. We're going to be talking about that today. For now, don't go anywhere. Chang, I know we got some music coming on.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to all of the Mr. Randy Newman with I Love
hey,
L.A.
New York City, it's cold and it's damp, and all the people dressed like monkeys. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimo. That town's a little bit too rugged for you and me, you bad girl. Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty red out of my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north. Born to ride. Roll down the window, put down the top, crank up the Beach Boys, baby. Don't let the music stop. We gonna ride it till we just can't ride it no more. From the side.
Sound celebration at Musicland and save on your favorite new releases.
After the fire still burns, the heart goes on.
Pick up the latest from Roger Daltrey. Get Under a Raging Moon, featuring the hit song After the Fight. On sale now, just $5.99 cassette or LP at Musicland. Roger Daltrey. Only $5.99 cassette or LP on Atlantic. Save on items throughout the store during the Sound Celebration Sale at Musicland.
Musicland. We bring entertainment to life. To life.
On sale now at all area Musicland locations. we thought the 80s were lame? That's because we hadn't lived through this decade yet.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
You're listening to the one and only Back to the 80s radio. You heard the one and only Randy Newman with I Love LA. A great segue into this following segment because...
Wait, Toscano, please. We forgot something. A big shout out to all our veterans.
A big shout out to everybody who is in Los Angeles, California. A big shout out to everybody listening throughout the United States and abroad. Thank you for listening to Back to the 80s Radio. So let's go ahead and kick it all off, Chang, as today on our show, we're going to be talking about sports, the events, athletes, etc. Good and the bad. So let's kick it off with 1984. Because we're just talking about L.A., and speaking of L.A., the 1984 Summer Olympics was, to me, in my opinion, it was my favorite. And maybe it is because I'm biased. Maybe it is because I'm from Los Angeles originally. It was a triumph of a sporting event and a national pride. It was, look, it came in the time against the backdrop of a Soviet-led Eastern Bloc boycott in response to the U.S.-led boycott of the 1980 Moscow Olympics. So we boycotted, they boycotted. The 84 Olympics was marked by several notable achievements and memorable moments. And, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about that? Besides the boycott, right, the Soviet Union and other Eastern Bloc countries, including East Germany, Cuba, they all boycotted. Yeah, they boycotted the games in response to the U.S. from 1980. And of course, that led to the absence of some of those traditional sporting powerhouses that, you know, when you go to see an event or when you watch it on TV, you know, Russia and back then the Soviet Union, they used to win so many medals, many medals. Cuba did too. Record-breaking performances in 84. The name that rings the bell that I can still remember as I watched track and field star Carl Lewis matching Jesse Owens' achievement from 1936 by winning four gold medals in the 100-meter, 200-meter, and four 100-meter relay in long jump. The guy was a beast.
Oh, good, yeah. And the sad thing is there was tarnishment on Mr. Lewis for steroids, remember? We also saw steroids being tossed around in the 80s. There was that epidemic.
Well, it was the decade of excess, you know.
Of course. The 80s sports decade is something to behold, both on the negative and the positive. We had great athletes achieving great feats, great teams achieving great feats, showing that things can be done in the concept of team, unity, hard work. And the 80s is also the birthplace of such topics as steroids, cocaine use in sports, enhancement drugs, scandal. We even seen a little bit of cheating going on in our 80s sports. But yet we see so much triumph with individuals within the Olympics or within our professional regions of sports. Correct, Toscano? As we talk about the Olympics, a very prestigious time in Los Angeles for we Angelinos. For some of our listeners that don't know, both of us are true-hearted Angelinos. I can recall when the torch was being taken to the Coliseum and it ran down Whittier Boulevard. And it's a very endearing time that I will always remember. For the first thing that weighed upon my mind as we bring this topic to face, the unity I saw within Whittier through East Los Angeles, Montebello, bits of La Habra and Hacienda Heights, as so many people gathered on the street of Whittier Boulevard to watch that torch get carried down that stretch. Down to 6th Street, into the heart and soul of Los Angeles, California, downtown LA, where more people were gathered. The feeling of unity, triumph, that no matter what the bearing upon us, the outcome that we all seen, we were as one, unified, proud to be Angelinos, proud to hold the prestigious Olympic Games that were started in the Coliseum many years before, but to bring it home and embark what LA is all about: tradition, prestige, loyalty. And it's only in sports that we see these things transpire. Maybe one day the world will act like a sporting event and get behind each other and cheer for one another's victorious outcome.
I guess in a perfect world, yeah, that's what we all wish. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned, I mean, it's true. That's what we all wish, that the world would be like that, especially the 1984 Olympics. Why? Because unlike 1980, that was filled with political tension, the Olympics in LA in 84 were marked by a sense of unity, cooperation in regards to participating nations. The whole event of the Olympics in 84 was praised worldwide for how smooth it went, the organization, the security, and overall positive atmosphere. And you know what that brings me? I want to mention two more of the athletes that I remember that just were icons of that time because of the Olympics. One of them was, of course, Mary Lou Retton, the gymnast. She captivated the world, dynamic performances. She earned perfect scores in her floor exercise and vault routines. She became the first American woman to win the all-around gold medal in gymnastics. And then the second one I wanted to, the third one I wanted to mention, because I had mentioned Carl Lewis, American track and field star Edwin Moses, who defended his gold medal in the 400-meter hurdles. I mean, he dominated the event. The Olympics of 1984 was an extravaganza. I mean, it was a spectacular display of colors. You remember all the colored banners on the outside, the music technology. But even more to what you were saying, and I want to go back to that, the atmosphere that surrounded people on the streets in different neighborhoods, even if you were outside of LA, it was such an incredible feeling of unity everywhere. You know, I remember seeing the torch pass. It was incredible because we felt that nothing was wrong. There were no problems. Everything was fantastic. The world was going towards a better place. Everywhere, I mean, you would go to malls, to stores, wherever you would go, there would be something related to the Olympics. And I remember seeing and hearing on the radio that we were on our way, because everything appeared to be, wow, we can be as a one world united. We don't have to have separations and divisions. And the Olympics in 84 was a big sign of that, of positive things to come. That's all we heard. We heard that this was the beginning of something extraordinary that we weren't used to before. I mean, little did they know the way the world was going to go. But at least for that year, for that time of the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, California, it was a time of rejoicing and a time that we will never forget. Ah, what great times, my brother, in the 1980s.
Toscano, let's take it out with something from NWA, straight out of Compton. You heard it from Toscano and Chang, right here at Back to the 80s Radio.
Like gumbo, going off on the motherfucker like that with a cat that's Tell them where you from.
Straight out of Compton. Another crazy ass nigga. When punks I smoke, yo, my rep gets bigger. I'm a bad motherfucker and you know this. But the pussy ass niggas won't show this. But I don't give a fuck, I'ma make my snaps. If not from the records, from jacking across, it's like burglary. The definition is jacking. But when illegally armed, it's called packing. Shoot a motherfucker in a minute. I find a good piece of pussy and go up in it. So if you had a show in the front row, I'ma call you a bitch or a dirty ass hoe. You probably get mad like a bitch is supposed to. But that shows me slut junk and pose to a crazy motherfucker from the street. Attitude legit, cause I'm tearing up shit. MC Ren controls are automatic. For any dumb motherfucker, it starts static. Not a right hand, cause I'm a hand itself. Every time I pull an AK off the shelf, the security is maximum, and that's a law. R-E-N spells red, but I'm raw. See, cause I'm the motherfucking villain. The definition is clear, you're the witness of a killing that's taking place without a clue. And once you're on the scope, your ass is through. Look, you might take it as a trip, but a nigga like Ren is on the gangster tip. Straight out of Compton. Compton. Compton.
Easy as his name and the boys coming.
Straight out of Compton. It's a brother that'll smother your mother and make your sister think I love her. Dangerous motherfucker raising hell. And if I ever get caught, I make bail. See, I don't give a fuck. That's the problem. I see a motherfucking cop, I don't dodge him. But I'm smart, lay low, free for a while. And when I see the punk pass, I smile. To me, it's kinda funny. The attitude show a nigga driving, but don't know where the fuck he going, just rolling. Looking for the one they call Easy. But here's a flash that never sees me, ruthless. Never seen like a shadow in the dark. Except when I unload, you see a spark and jump over a hesitation. And hear the scream of the one who caught the last penetration. Feel a little gust of wind and I'm jetting. Believe a memory, no one will be forgetting. So what about the bitch who got shot? Fucker, you think I give a damn about a bitch? I ain't a sucker. This is an autobiography of the E. And if you ever fuck with me, you get taken by a stupid dope brother who will smother. Word to the motherfucker. Straight out of Compton. Compton. Compton.
The Coca-Cola Company would like to salute all the 1984 Olympic athletes. The Italians, the English, the Germans, the Swedes, the Africans, the Irish, the Chinese, the Mexicans, the Brazilians, the Greeks, the French, the Poles. All those athletes of every heritage who will wear the uniform of the United States Olympic team. To Coca-Cola, to all of America, you are it.
Dog, that's what beat you much till you span half your life. is a trick. Listen to the decade of decadence right here.
Back to the 80s.
You are listening to Back to the 80s radio, hosted by Toscano and Chang, and that was, the Boss. Yes, the Boss. Toscano doesn't agree. Born in the USA, which is a song that embarks the feeling of the Olympics and the vibe in 84. We also had some NWA spinning a little bit of the truth, the negativity of Los Angeles, Southern California, and the corrupt justice system during that era of the Olympics. Toscano, seeing that we're talking about the Olympics, I don't want to skip ahead and forget that we have other great stories in the 1980s decade of the Olympics. I remember a story that embarked, that brought us all together on a sport not all of us within the States was really familiar with or could identify with. Talking about hockey. I'm talking about the 1980s hockey team and how they destroyed their opponent to be something bigger than what hockey had ever been in the United States. Do you remember that, Toscano?
I remember, especially if we go back to 1980, the most memorable international hockey event of the 80s was the Miracle on Ice, if you recall. It was at the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York, and it comprised of amateur and college players. They defeated the heavily favored Soviet Union team that was en route to winning the gold medal. Back then, the Soviet Union dominated pretty much any winter sport, hockey was one of them. If you recall, back then the local team that was winning—I mean, throughout the '80s—the Edmonton Oilers, led by the iconic Wayne Gretzky, they won 1984, 1985, 1987, 1988, and 1990 and beyond. These teams were brutal in hockey. If you're a hockey fan, you had a great time back in the 1980s.
Were you a fan of hockey, honestly, during the 1980s?
No, I was not a fan of hockey. However, I was a fan of Wayne Gretzky. Anybody who was the number one athlete in any sport, I was a fan of. So even if I wasn't a fan of a particular sport, I was always a fan of the GOAT of each sport. I really was. And just a real brief side note. After financial problems from 1976, LA bid for the right to host the 84 Olympics. I mean, the bid was criticized. Nobody wanted it to go to LA. They said it was going to depend heavily on... Yeah, they said, no, it's going to depend on existing facilities, on corporate sponsors.
Right.
However, LA proved them all wrong as the games produced a healthy profit. Check this out. They produced a healthy profit of over $223 million in 1984 and became the model of future Olympic Games. That's right. We did that.
You know what, though? The hate of Los Angeles entwines in so many other sports than just the Olympics. The hate of, if you watch any professional sport in the States, the hate of Los Angeles is greater than any other. Now, me, of course, Toscano, you know, I am the number one sports fan of all Los Angeles teams of all history. I'm talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers of the 1980s, with one Earl Hershiser on the mound, taking the Dodgers with the Gibster to one of their pennants. Oh, but don't let me stop there. Who can forget the Los Angeles Rams of the 1980s with their dominating defense and fierce offense, but couldn't get past the big dance when they met the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1980 to lose at the home field, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. And the hate began with the 1982 birth of the Los Angeles Lakers and Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, and the team they call Showtime. So let's not forget the hate of LA. And let's not forget the hate of 1981 San Francisco 49ers, led by Mr. Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, to start a legacy of hate.
Well, here's another legacy of hate, because if we jump all the way, now that you mentioned baseball, we jump all the way to 1988. This World Series in Los Angeles remains memorable, not only because the Dodgers won over the Athletics, the A's, but also for the enduring image of Kirk Gibson's improbable home run, symbolizing the unpredictable and dramatic nature of the game.
But the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, on that note, I'm taking you out with a little John Fogerty in a song from 1985 called Center Field on Back to the 80s Radio.
McDonald in good sports.
There's Sam, the Olympic Eagle, the official mascot of the 1984 Olympics.
Ronald, I'm trying to test this equipment for the Olympics. Can you help?
Leave it to me, Sam.
Jumping hurdles by two. Vaulting into the blue. Who can do it?
Whoa.
Ronald, that's who.
Thanks, Ronald. Now off to the Olympics.
See you there.
McDonald's.
Oh, boy. Lunch.
Ronald and you.
Back to the 80s radio. The memories. The experiences of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Of the greatest decade, the 1980s. A significant, a transformative decade for sports. Especially Chang. Now that we're talking sports of the 1980s, athletes, and different events that happened related to sports. I don't know about you, but is it me that thinks that boxing as a sport was so much more exciting as a sport of royalty back then? Boxing with figures of the early 80s, such as Larry Holmes, Marvin Hagler, Duran, Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard. The 1980s is also the era that brought pay-per-view, and it made huge these events that included boxing. Were you a fan of boxing back then?
Oh. Brother, I can only tell you, yes, I am a huge fan of boxing. I don't want to brag, but that's what my dad, my grandfather, and my Nino started working me with as a really, really small kid to be a boxer. My dad, my uncle, and my grandpa were all Golden Gloves in the military. My middle name, Richard, was given to me after a champion in Los Angeles back in the 50s. So boxing is, yeah, big time. I used to go to the Olympic Auditorium with my dad or my grandpa and my uncle, which is located in the heart and soul of Los Angeles, California, right by the freeway, to watch fighters such as Pepino Cuevas. We used to watch fighters, all throughout Southern California. And boxing in the 80s, we don't see boxers as balls out and gritty and into one thing. Boxing back then was a business. I'm going to get in the ring. I'm going to ring your bell. I'm going to knock your ass out. And that's what I'm going to do. Any kind of persona or kind of following will come back after I do what I'm going to do. We've seen a change in boxing in years. Looks a little fake. A lot of fat cats out there. A lot of showboats. We don't see what we've seen in the 80s. Like you mentioned, Roberto Duran. We don't see Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Tommy the Hitman Hearns. Sugar Ray Leonard, who was so fast and so quick. He's one fighter, Leonard, that's can go up as, like, people don't think he had the guts enough to finish up a fight because he would hide and hold. But sometimes, he was so quick he knocked the crap out of you. Tommy the Hitman Hearns, that guy was so skinny, but that guy will knock the crap out of you. Marvelous Marvin Hagler, the guy looked like he used to punch trains out. Then you cannot escape the heavyweight division. We saw the end of the greatest boxer of all time. I am the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. But then we saw the income of Larry Holmes, who was a sparring partner of Muhammad Ali in his mid-years. But, Holmes, he got cocky. He got arrogant. And later in his career, Mike Tyson came and rang his bell for the great Muhammad Ali as some type of a revenge.
Do you remember the last fight of Roberto Duran against Sugar Ray Leonard?
No mas?
Yes, the famous no mas.
Oh, yeah,
he
really
uttered a phrase in Spanish, no mas, which means no more.
Coming into the arena now, Sugar Ray Leonard, the challenger. Here comes the champion, the man who says that he will knock Leonard out this night. Duran has quit! Roberto Duran has quit! There can be no other explanation. Pandemonium in the ring, and Roberto Duran has quit.
And he quit in the middle of his rematch against Sugar Ray Leonard. That fight, November 1980, it became a lasting part of boxing lore. And then, of course, you mentioned the emergence of Mike Tyson in the late 80s. He was the youngest heavyweight champion in history at age 20.
Yes, he was. You know, but Mike Tyson was a fighter that I don't think we've ever seen the likes of. Mike Tyson was a bit like Rocky Marciano to anybody out there listening or old boxing fans, but Marciano was way, way back then. Sonny Liston, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, who, you know, he was at one time. We don't see boxers as hungry and angry as Mike Tyson.
Joe Louis,
the Bronx Bomber, that guy would catapult you. You know, Mike Tyson was the last of the angry, I'm going to get what's mine kind of fighters. And the 80s, we saw a lot of those. A lot of cats that you mentioned, that I mentioned right now, are those type of boxers. We don't see that too much nowadays. A boxer that comes to mind in the 80s that will always stand out in my mind, Carlos Palomino. If boxing fans out there remember Carlos Palomino during the 80s, he was slim, very good looking, but he'll knock the crap out of you. The guy had the heart of a lion. Very similar to, remember when Chavez came out in the later years? A boxer like that.
Julio Cesar Chavez, often regarded as one of the greatest boxers of all time, period, he played the prominent role in the landscape of boxing in the 1980s. This guy became world champion in 84. He won by defeating Mario Martinez of the WBC super featherweight title. And then he went on to win a consecutive. He had a winning streak. He went to 104 undefeated winning fights with no draw, no contest.
Yes. It's funny that you bring that up. In the Martinez fight, I remember watching that fight with my dad, my uncles, and a lot of my homies. And we noticed that he was way quicker, way more smarter and aware than Martinez was in that fight. And Martinez at that time was ranked really high. But yet, if you rank him later after his loss, Martinez would not even rank in any of the categories from Chavez and beyond. Chavez had that hunger. Like Tyson, it's all business. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to annihilate you because what is mine is mine. You tell me, brother, do you watch fighting like that? Now we have the MMA. Now we have a lot of martial art type of fighting, which is brutal, which is extraordinary to witness. And you know, I used to kickbox too, and I had a lot of street fights. But I will tell you, this sport is tough nowadays. It's gritty, it's raw, it's brutal, it's terrifying, and it's deadly. But yet, we have sunken to the level to watch that instead of watch two individuals, highly trained, to knock the snot out of each other and still hopefully walk away without drawing that much blood and that much guerrilla type warfare.
Well, now that you mentioned that, in spite of the viciousness of boxing, it took away from the classiness. 15 rounds of boxing. Remember that? 15 rounds of boxing. Then it went to 12. Then it went to 10. And it keeps getting lower. Let's go back to the 1980s, talking about boxing. One of the 80s most iconic songs that started it all off with a movie about boxing. This is Survivor and the Eye of the Tiger on the one and only Back to the 80s Radio.
Thank you. I gotta eat.
There's something over there. Can't get anywhere. Just down the road away. Anytime, any day. It's what's happening next. It's where best meets west. You gotta cross it, jump it, bust it, bump it. You gotta cross it, jump it, bust it, bump it. Pop a bell at your order.
I'm starved.
Make a run.
To the 80s radio, you heard the beautiful Blondie with Call Me. During a game between the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys, a player named Alvin Garrett, who was, of course, African-American, made an impressive run, so impressive that Howard Cosell, trying to praise Garrett's agility, said,
"But from the beginning, as we look at an end zone replay, Jake Gibbs wanted to get this, kid, and that little monkey gets loose, doesn't he? He certainly does."
And he also said,
"You know, that little monkey, again, the theorem was that he was too small for
the comment, of course, Chang, if you remember, sparked incredible criticism. It was so controversial for its racial undertones, but Cosell wasn't a racist. It's just of his old age and how they spoke during those times. But it's a term that he used to describe Garrett's speed and agility. It wasn't supposed to be used as a racial slur. But no matter what the explanation that was given, the incident contributed to the ongoing debates about racial insensitivity in sports commentary. and Howard Cosell, although not specifically and technically fired for that, he continued broadcasting until his retirement in 1985. That was only 2 years later. And his viewership had dropped a lot because the media made it into something that was not true.
You know what? The Cosell case was one of the first cases where the media got involved, turned it into a racial profiling to annihilate an icon in broadcasting and sport, being a good friend of so many athletes of different races and different backgrounds. I thought that ABC Sports, Monday Night Football, and America was so full of shit to condemn and crucify Cosell over a misuse of words. Because as a comedian, even on the radio, I'll say some shit that I'm sure some people will take out of context. Cosell was tarnished for that. It was a disgrace in sports, a disgrace in humanity, where an icon like that, who is being known to have a wit and word battle comedically with Muhammad Ali and so many other sports entities and legends back then, it was sad to see Cosell get slandered like
it
that.
It must have laid really, really heavy on his mind and on his heart. Because once again, we say sometimes things that we don't mean, but they don't sound bad to us sometimes. But when you're a public figure, you got to be careful. As a matter of fact, Chang, I've got a complaint against you already, believe it or not.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you ready for this? Somebody said when you sometimes tell me son of a monkey,
yeah,
they're taking it as offensive. And I'm telling people, relax. This is an 80s show. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody takes things the wrong way. Unless you're Howard Cosell, and then your job's over. But other than that, come on. Give me a break.
You know what, man? I think nowadays we suffer from wussy-itis. Nobody can say anything without somebody getting hurt. And I think that's because everybody wants to be on a pedestal in life. Everybody wants to walk on the dandelions without breaking a leaf. Everybody in America wants to sound like they are important and they care, when the only thing they care about is their own self.
From the mouth of the legendary Howard Cosell, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll have to say our goodbyes, because this show is going to continue on to a part two. It's a must. This is Back to the 80s Radio.
We're going to take you out with a song from the legendary John Lennon in 1980. And it's called I'm Watching the Wheels Go Round. Toscano and Chang here at Back to the 80s Radio. Don't you go nowhere.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. Say that I'm okay, well they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well they give me all kinds of advice to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round.
tell them there's no problem, only solutions. Well, they shake their heads and they look at me as if I've lost my mind. I tell them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time.
To the 80s radio, John Lennon. Thank you for joining us on Back to the 80s Radio. But this is right now a time here at Back to the 80s take to talk about things that made us angry back in the 1980s. In honor of the most wondrous Chang, we have now dubbed them Changries. So, what made you Changry back in the 1980s?
You know what made me Changry back in the 1980s in the sports realm? The Boston Celtics. You know what got me Changry back in the 1980s? That one day Wayne Gretzky would become a Los Angeles King. You know what got me Changry back in the 1980s? Giorgio Frettier. You know what got me Changry back in the 1980s during the sports era? John McEnroe was not allowed to curse.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been this week's Changries. If you have anything that made you angry and you'd like to share it here on the show, we'd love to get your Changry. So go ahead and send us a note to our Facebook page, and we'll be more than glad to talk about your Changry in the next week's following show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I forget, I did mention there's going to be a giveaway. That's right. If you go on our Facebook page and you write Toscano and Chang a personal message telling us what you like about the show and telling us what songs you'd like to hear for the following week, I will choose the first five people that write in, and you are going to get a Back to the 80s Radio jersey. So gear up, write into the show, tell us what you like about Back to the 80s, and you must not forget that you need to let us know what song you want to hear in the following show. Just want to thank you for joining us here on another show of Back to the 80s Radio. Hope you have a great week. Don't forget, smile, because a smile is contagious.
Chang here. I want to bid you all an adios, arrivederci, sayonara, hasta la vista. And to all of you in the barrios, Oraland, to everybody out there, remember, you matter, you count. Don't let nothing get you down. Thank you for listening to Back to the 80s Radio. Toscano and Chang love you. Next time, same place, same channel. Be good to each other. Hasta la vista.